We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter number 18. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we'll go down through about verse number 17. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul." Of course, this is David, all right? Shortly after he had taken Goliath's head off. "That the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, "They've ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands." And what can he have more than the kingdom? Verse 9. Saul's worried about it here. Something fierce. Saul's got some things brewing in his heart. Some jealousy. Verse 9. Now watch this now. "And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, 'I will smite David even to the wall with it.' And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him." Interesting, isn't it, guys? Listen to that. "And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself," second time it says this, "and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, 'Behold my elder daughter, Merib. Her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles.' For Saul said, 'Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him.'" Let's look to the Lord in prayer, ask him to have his way. Father, thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, I thank you for the bedrock principles of life that we get from this book. And Lord, I pray you'd open each our minds, our hearts, including this preacher this morning, to your word, that you'd convince of sin and of righteousness and of judgment this morning. And Lord, you'd comfort where comfort is needed. And give us that direction, Lord, as we heard in the song here this morning, that Jesus leads all the way. Thank you. I pray you give us sensitive hearts and consciences to that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we come into 1 Samuel chapter number 18, the young man David had just killed Goliath of Gath, all right? He gave King Saul and the Israelite army a tremendous victory over their enemies. Now listen, David's a national hero, all right? His fame spread across the land. And King Saul, though glad for the victory, all right, felt as though he was playing second fiddle to David. And he couldn't take it, all right? You see, at one point in Saul's life, he had a tremendous relationship. Watch it now. His success in his life came from the Lord. And he had a tremendous relationship with the Lord. But there were some things that Saul did, and as you look back through those chapters, that brought his relationship away from the Lord, that took him out of the will of God. We've even heard it up here this morning, and Brother Comfort used to say it all the time, that it's not how a man starts the race, but it's how he finishes it. And Saul was having trouble, definitely in this department, all right? And so God had taken his hand of blessing off of King Saul, and he had put it on David. And they'll, now listen, this is interesting. We used to have a professor here, he'd say, when you read God's word, do you turn your imagination on? Right? You turn your imagination on and you meditate. That's what meditation is. All right. This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. You know? Goes on to say that then you'll have good success. Right? Success comes from meditation on the word of God. Also, there in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what?
Prosper.
In relation to meditating on the word of God. And again, as we meditate, that's where that success comes. That's where that fruit comes. Not as the world says it. I'm not talking about we're going to be a millionaire and all these things. I'm talking about just simply knowing the will of God and doing it. That's success, right? And so here, Saul didn't do that. And David had goodwill, and he was favorable to all those around him, okay? And King Saul hated him for it. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. For God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I want to preach a message here this morning. Five marks of a jealous heart. Five marks of a jealous heart. And listen, may I say this morning? Jealousy will destroy you. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Right? Except the Lord build it. Young people, whether it's bitterness, anger, we're going to talk about those things today, jealousy, envy, those things will destroy your home. Hey, I'm looking at a bunch of young people here. You're going to have future homes, all right? Maybe some of you in ministry positions and things, and you'll be an example to a flock, all right? That might sound scary right now, whatever, but that's what takes place, all right? And those things will destroy you. And you need a foundation. And that foundation, and whether you're talking about jealousy, whether you're talking about bitterness, whether you're talking about how to do local church ministry or raise a family, whatever it is, you're going to get those principles from that book and from the Word of God. And hear me, hear it well. You're going to get it on your knees. That's where it's going to come from. Studying's great. I'm not saying that, but don't forget that you need God in the situation. You need that illumination of the Spirit of God to enable you to be able to take that book. It's not a textbook, by the way. That book's alive, and it's livable, all right? And that is your foundation. And so that's what I want to say. And even at Missions Prayer Band tonight, I want to share something along that line of relationship with the Lord and that prayer closet or that something. It's just so on my heart because I'll tell you why. Because I see God work in circumstances and situations. And it blows my mind what he does. Yeah. So, here we have five marks. I gotta get my water here. Five marks of a jealous heart, right? And the first one, we'll see it here in verse 8. Now, remember, David's coming back from the Philistine. He probably cut that giant's head off. I suppose he held it up to everybody around. I don't know, both sides. It sent the Philistines running, right? Imagine that young man with that big old sword ripping out of Goliath's sheath there and just cut his head clean off, and he's holding that thing up. I mean, it was a victory of victories, right, that day. All right, so this is embedded in the people's minds. They're coming back. The ladies are saying, "Hey, listen, Saul killed his thousands, but David, his 10,000s. All right? And this is where jealousy develops. Saul didn't like that, right? Look, it says, "And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they've ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" Right? Let me give you the definition of jealousy. All right? Jealousy is the passion which arises from the fear that a rival may rob us of the affection of one whom we love. And also, it's this. It's a fear that another enjoys or will enjoy some advantage which we desire for ourselves. You know, Brother Beal was talking that I was a tree climber. And I run a tree service now. I do that. I also preach, and that I run the tree service. That gives me the ability to, when a pastor calls, I can go. I can get away. That's why I was able to be here. Got guys that work with me and things. And that's what I've done. But I started out one of my early jobs at Penn State University. All right, up there in State College, Pennsylvania. And so, anyway, I started out, I was what they called wage payroll, and it was kind of a temporary position, and then I got into a full-time position there on the tree crew at Penn State. And so for about a year and a half, I got to climb trees all I wanted, right? But I was in a ground man position because they hadn't filled this other climber position. Long story short, guys, they brought a man in, all right? And if you know anything about unions, okay, it's the least qualifications. Okay, the guy had seniority, he's the least qualified, but he still gets a job, all right? And so so that brought me down to the ground, and I was ground man then, and he was in the trees climbing, not to mention, he was my boss. And I'm going to put it straight to you, I was jealous. And boy, and being a tree worker, and doing that kind of work, listen, your crew needs to be with each other, all right? You need to be friends. You need to be buddies. You need to care about each other, all right? When you got a guy, 80 feet in a tree and he's lowering a limb for you, you don't want him to stop it fast or you're gonna. I'm just saying, all right? It's dangerous. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't have goodwill toward him. And that was day in and day out, and it gave me a bad attitude the whole 9 yards. And I'll tell you, why? Because I feared... that I was losing prominence. That's what it was. And it was wrong. And it was sin. And I wasn't getting, and you're going to hear this throughout the message, I didn't have goodwill toward him. That's huge. Right? That's huge. So number one, we see here that Saul, his fear is losing importance and losing his position. All right? And we can do the same thing. Your phone's ringing, answer it, right? Right? Now, number two, we'll see here in verse 9, is the next mark of a jealous heart is that it looks to find fault. It looks to find fault. It's critical, a critical eye. And look at verse 9. It says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. He watched his every move, just to see if he could find fault. And boy, I'll tell you, if he could bring it out publicly, he would. I've got involved a little bit with local government and different things. And in a public meeting, it amazes me what people will try to bring out about other people, make them look bad in front of everybody else. You know, that's your townships and your boroughs or whatever. All right, and I'm like, wow, that could have been done privately, right? But no. Why? Because somebody's eyeing that person. How about you this morning? Who are you eyeing? Who do you feel that you want what they have? You know, listen. Why bring this up? Why do you preach this? Here, because guys, listen, young people, it'll kill you. It'll kill you spiritually. It'll ruin your future. That jealousy. You know, and it steals your joy so bad, you know. And the Lord's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Hey, listen, do you know him that way? Do you spend time with him in a prayer closet? Might be hard sometimes to find some prayer closet time here. I know we used, I don't know if we even used that. We had the clipper. That's where we were over there, and there was a closet in there. And that closet was, I know a lot of fellows used that at different times. And, and there's a meadow out here. I don't know if you're allowed to use that. And right on the other side here is a spot you can sit right in the weeds. Nobody ever see you, all right? I don't know. Maybe you're not allowed to do that. I don't know. But I'd sit right over here in the weeds, and I'd talk to the Lord. Now, listen. I'm not talking about going through my prayer list, right? I'm not talking about just this, and using my prayer voice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you talking as Moses talked to the Lord, as a man does to his friend. That's what I'm talking about. And listen, the Bible says, pour your heart out before him, for God is a refuge for us. Amen. Pour your heart out. Listen, young man, young lady, he wants your whole heart. Amen. That's where he's going to direct you. In that prayer closet. And it doesn't have to be something official or whatever. No, I mean, obviously, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's between our ears. Amen? All right? So sometimes you can't get alone. All right? But there's times you can. You ought to look for that opportunity. Get alone with the Lord. Because that's where it's at. How much time do you think old David spent out there with those sheep? A whole lot of time with the sheep. Listen, there's a whole lot of time with the Lord. Look at the book of Psalms. That's a man. That's his prayer life. Right? That's what it is. You got future families you're going to raise. You got future ministries. You got things you got. Listen, you know what? This crowd here, you got things going on now, don't you? Things you're dealing with your heart. That's because we're people. That's why we need a shepherd. That's what we need, you know. And man, Saul eyed him. You know, I over the years, I've been around some different situations. I remember in high school, like two young men like the same young lady. All right, that happens, right? Or two young ladies like the same young man, right? Those things. And man, I remember this one guy in high school, and I went to a public school. I didn't get saved until I was 22, and so I'm whatever. And not that you can't go to a public high school if you can still walk with God in public high school. What's God doing in your life? This isn't cookie cutter, people. All right? It's got to be this way. It's got to be this. No, this book's alive. Joseph wasn't in the best spot, was he? No. Uh-uh. So there's no excuse, right? There's no excuse that way. So anyway, I remember one guy'd say, well, that guy's, he was jealous. He wanted this one young lady this other fellow was with. And he'd say, well, my athletic ability is a lot better than his. You know, well, he can't do this and he can't do that. And he'd say about how the guy looks. You know, all these things. Why? He's finding fault. And it didn't stop there. He went to his family. Look at his family. Right? Listen, are you trying to find fault with somebody? In some form or fashion, Saul was trying to find fault with David. For sure. He eyed him. Right? And this jealousy here, and it's mixed with hatred, you know, and it comes down to envy. I want what that person has. This preacher, not exempt from that. So if you think I'm talking down to you, I just happen to be up in this big platform here, all right? But I come down there right with you, and you know what I'm saying, but I'm just saying I'm not talking down, maybe talking down because I'm looking down here. I can see you real good. I like that, all right? I do like that. So, but anyway, yeah. So it's that jealousy, that hatred. Envy is the pain or uneasiness or discontentment excited by the sight of another's success or accomplishing good fortune, mixed with hatred and a desire. Listen to this, interestingest definition. Listen, and a desire to depreciate that person, and finds pleasure in seeing them depressed. Do we see that in our youth groups? Yes. Didn't give you time to answer, did I? We do. Do we see it in our congregations? Mm-hmm. Listen, a man or a woman, that's a long way down there, Brother Beal, and it takes me so long to get back up through here, it does, but I'll say, a man or a woman, a young person that has good will toward others is going to stick out like a sore thumb, I mean in a great way, among people. You have good will toward others? You know, you get around in churches, you get around people, something going on, half the people say, well, that guy, that's, but you still have goodwill toward that person, everybody else, I'll tell you what, that's a gem. By the way, that's true Christianity. It's goodwill. Doesn't mean you don't confront sin. Not talking about that. It means that you desire their success. And in that, you will confront sin. Does that make sense? All right? And again, so we need to think that. Think that through. And I asked you this morning, do you have goodwill in the situations or the circumstances you're in right now? Because it matters. Because it's a mark of a jealous heart, is looks to find fault and not have goodwill in mind. And so, number three. Third mark of a jealous heart. It is a person who is opened up to evil spirits. Well, verse 10 with me. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand." Of course, we know what Saul's going to do with that javelin there here in just a minute. But you know, it said here that an evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Listen, Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." That's what it says. All right? Talking about anger, bitterness there. All right, that gives place. It gives a foothold. A tree climber. I mean, if a tree climber get his hand on one limb or just something, or just a stub or something, just to get himself up there, he'll be able to get up there. That's all Satan needs in your life. All right? That's all he needs to get to accomplish that which he wants, and you don't want that. You know, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, there, in the context of unforgiveness, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, "For your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ," verse 11, "lest Satan should get an advantage of us." And that's what he's after. You know. I know of a man, local church, I was talking to an older pastor. No, he's not in the ministry anymore, and one of those guys that I get a lot of advice when I come up against things. Boy, we need counsel, amen, guys? We need counsel. I don't care, you know, what. But anyway, he relayed this illustration to me. He knew a man in a local church that owned an antique store. All right, the guy had only been coming to the church for a little while. And so he figured, the pastor thought, well, I'm trying to get to know him. I want to reach out to him. And he went to visit him at his antique store. And they got to talking. Now, here's the thing. This man always walked with a limp. And he always often wondered why. And they got to talking there in the antique store. And he said, "Well, hey, why? What's going on? What happened to your leg that you always walk with a limp?" And the guy at the antique store began to tell the story. All right. Guy came in one day and said, "Hey, give me all your money." All right. He said, and the antique store owner said, "No, I'm not giving you my money." Well, the guy shot him in the leg, all right? And as that antique store guy started telling this pastor, all right, and this guy was part of his congregation or just coming, I'm not sure exactly, he said, "Yep," and as soon as he got to the part about where he shot him, and he said this, and he says, and "if I ever," and he grabbed the letter opener beside him, "and if I ever see his face again, I'll kill him." And he slammed that thing on an oak counter and put that letter opener right down in there. Well, old Saul here, he's going to nail David to the wall. This guy has felt the same way. And I'm saying this, all right, yes, I know we're saved, but we still can be influenced by those spirits. You think you can't? You're wrong. Yes, you can. Oppression, demonism, whatever it is. And this guy's facial expressions changing, his voice changing, slammed this down in there, you know. I'm saying this. That when we allow that jealousy and that anger and that bitterness to continue, it opens us up to give Satan a foothold. All right? That's what happened. That's exactly what happens. And he's after that. And we can be influenced, even though we're saved, we can be influenced by Satan and his devices. And now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you occasionally have fits of anger, rage? Yeah, I know we're in Bible college. It happens. Do you control it? Do you get so bitter and so angry? You may not say it, you may not yell, but you're so mad you could just kick something. You know. Do you give that over to the Lord? Are you able to take Scripture? Listen, are you able to take this book and allow Jesus Christ to minister to your heart? Are you able to encourage yourself in the Lord as David did? He's the good shepherd. Let him shepherd you. Find what you're dealing with and allow the principles of this book and allow the Word of God to minister your heart, even if you've got to do it minute by minute, because there's things that happen to us, young men and young ladies, that are not fair and they are not right. Life is not fair a lot of times. You're going to deal with that. And you're going to deal with it in your congregations. You're going to deal with that in your ministry. And you're not going to have an answer unless you know about this book. And many times it has everything to do with your meditation and your heart being receptive to what God says about it, even if it's second by second, minute by minute. That's how drug addicts get off of drugs, the Word of God. It's meditation. But, you know, the first thing we saw is that fear, that one of the marks of a jealous heart is the fear of losing importance. Number two, looks to find fault. Number three, opens us up to evil spirits. And number four, another mark of a jealous heart is that it fears a person because of their relationship with the Lord and their good relationships toward others. Look with me here. Verses 12 through 15, it says, "And Saul was afraid of David." Interesting, isn't it? That kind of blew my mind when I read that and meditated on that. You know, I thought, wow, he's afraid of David because of his relationship with the Lord, because he's got God's hand on him, you know. And it was departed from Saul, it says there in verse number 12. "Therefore Saul removed him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." And Saul didn't like that. He despised David for the fact that he had a relationship with the Lord and he had goodwill toward others. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." Song of Solomon 8 and verse 6. "Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are of coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame." Genesis chapter 4. Cain was jealous of Abel's relationship with God. I think we could say that, right? That's in principle there. Cain was jealous of that. And perhaps Cain was jealous of Abel's relationship with his parents, because listen, Adam and Eve would have been the ones to show the boys how to worship God correctly, right? That's where they'd have learned that, okay? And so there's definitely a family issues there, right? And by the way, family's important, all right? Family issues are important. That's one of the building blocks of society, no doubt, and those are things that, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But here's the thing, Cain went on to kill Abel, murdered his brother because he was jealous. I think at Genesis 37, Joseph's brothers sell Joseph into slavery. All right, why? Why'd they do that, guys? They're jealous of him. That's why. Put him in that pit. Sold him to the Ishmaelites. Right? Jacob showed favoritism. Bad move. You know, it's so important that we fulfill God's design in our homes, in our churches, in our communities even. And Joseph went through all that, but may I say this? Was it fair what happened to Joseph? No. You may be here today and you say, "Preacher, you don't know what happened to me." No, I don't. I don't. But Jesus Christ does. That's right. Oh, he does. And he knows. And I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ was with Joseph in the pit. He was with him in the palace. He was with him when he was falsely accused. He was with him in all the unfair circumstances. And may I say today, he'll be with you too. The only one that can mess God's will up for your life is you. You say, "Yeah, but that wasn't God's will that Joseph had to go to the pit. Those guys shouldn't have done that. They're evil hearts." Hey, yeah, but guess what, though? You know what? God's with him the whole time. And Joseph, with his attitude and with his heart, continued in the will of God, even in spite of those circumstances. So important. But the last thing we see is a mark of a jealous heart will lie to manipulate people and circumstances. Let's see. Did Saul do that? Yes, he did. Let's look here. Verse number 17. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter Merib, her will I give thee to wife." Hey, that was a lie, by the way. All right? He didn't do it. "Her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles." Watch this. "For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." Boy, if he could nail David's reputation, if he could smash and quash David's reputation in front of others, he would do it. And he'll lie to do it. He'll manipulate to do it. Listen, none of us in here above that. We're not. Why? Because we're people. What's God speaking to you about today? Is he dealing with your heart? Dealt with mine through this. Still does. You know. I know of a sale barn in a rural town. They call it the hay sale. All right? And all the farmers bring their hay and they bring their eggs and farm equipment and different things. They have an auction. It's like every other Friday. One day they were getting ready to sell the eggs and the auctioneer's up there, you know, and said, "Hey, we got these eggs for sale." And this fellow steps out of the shadows there and he says, "Hey, I'm a government inspector and I'm here to tell you that these eggs aren't inspected and you're not allowed to sell them." Well, that caused a pretty big fuss. All right? And it went around there. Well, who's the one that called the government inspector? Well, a local grocery store owner took the blame, but he didn't do it. But he took the blame. He was set up, and it was a lie. All right? What's my point? My point is simply this. Jealousy often plays a huge role in people lying or people just sort of skating the truth a little to manipulate or influence people's opinions. Think on it, guys. Think on it. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. They which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Right? You see, these sins don't just affect us. They affect others. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. "Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." It does it. Many. It doesn't just affect us. Now watch, Galatians 5, 22 through 24 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." I ask you this morning, in light of God's word, are the works of the flesh, anger, lust, jealousy, envy, wrath, are they showing in your life this morning? Have they in the last day, last week? Or do you have goodwill toward others? You know, that's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Galatians 6, 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." What are you sowing? I'll tell you, boy, you sow the right thing, boy, there'll be blessing. There'll be blessing. Time would fail me this morning to name the relationships and homes and families and churches and neighborhoods and even schools probably, right, that have been destroyed by the sins of jealousy and envy and unforgiveness. Bitter. These things won't build our homes and our lives and our relationships. They destroy them. And young people, the sad part of it is, and I know I'm preaching to young people and not somebody sitting here with, you know, older folks that they're dealing with inheritances and all that stuff. But all that stuff mixes into this, you know, with this jealousy and different things. But that stuff comes on. And then it goes to the next generation. And sadly, people in our churches and lives and even pastors can do it. All right, any of us can do it. Can pass that on, that jealousy, and that injustice, on to the next generation, and it matters. What's God speaking to you about today?